I love that hymn. I could sing it again right now. It's beautiful, isn't it? Especially those words in the last verse. For the world, we raise our voices. For the home that gives us birth. In our joy, we sing returning home to our blue-green hills of earth. Do you hear how it puts together these two different things? The work of caring for this world and the experience of joy. There's a refrain that echoes through the Hebrew prophets, the voices calling people to return, to remember who they are and whose they are. The prophet Malachi quotes God as saying, "Return to me, and I will return to you." You could translate that as, "Come to your senses, come home to your true nature, and your life will be renewed and richly blessed." What if, like we just sang, we could practice combining this idea of return with joy, paying attention to what matters, giving our hands to good work, trusting that this practice, these good works, will bring goodness and gladness. As you heard already, our worship theme this month is repair. And I'm loving this, and I'm thinking of all kinds of images and pictures and ways one could illustrate and think about and engage with and practice the art of repair. It reminds me of a cartoon I saw years ago, two guys in coveralls in a sanctuary like this, and they say, "We're here to install the new minister." Get it? I thought that was a pretty good one. So thinking about repair, there is so many things and situations in our lives and in our world that need to be repaired, right? Things beyond calling somebody in coveralls with a wrench or a toolbox. And so I want to ask you, though, and I hope you'll reflect on this today and this month, what might you be called to mend? I hope things might percolate up for you as you reflect on this, and I trust they will. There's a Hebrew phrase, tikkun olam. It translates as repair the world. Isn't this central to what we are called to do as humans and also as people of faith? To find our own particular ways of helping and healing what's been broken. To join with others to do what we can't do all by ourselves. To leave the world better than we found it. Repairing what people have broken is challenging, to say the least, because this being human is complicated, right? Our particular natures, our thoughts and feelings, our histories. It can be messy trying to fix things after a conflict or a disagreement, and it's worth doing and necessary. If you believe in healing and justice and reconciliation. Maybe it's because of the messiness of human relationships that I like to and I enjoy fixing things. They're less complicated most of the time, right? Tangible things. There's a satisfaction I find in being able to stand back and look at something that I've done and think, that's better. Probably not perfect, but better. This spring, I've been doing some repair projects, and I'm loving getting my hands dirty, plugging along, trying not to hurry, and slowly, slowly seeing some progress. I love showing folks around this sturdy and beautiful building that our Universalist forebears built back in 1894. And these days, I particularly love bringing them into our new elevator out there and riding up into our renovated upstairs space, which every time I go up there still seems like a miracle to me. Look at what we did, I want to say. Talk about repair. There's an English TV show that some of you might know. It's called Repair Shop. It's so satisfying to watch. I'm not a regular, but I love it. In this show, people bring their treasured objects to this real place called the Repair Shop, where skilled craftspeople help to fix these old, beloved things that people are bringing in. Each object has a story, of course, that makes it precious to the owner. Tears are often shed when that beloved item works again or is restored to its former beauty. And I think people watch and love this show because we want and we need evidence that things can be mended. There's a kind of soul repair that I believe almost everyone needs these days. It can come from solitude, from community, from spiritual practice. It can also come from something as simple as being out in the natural world. These days, just being outside on one of these cool spring days, listening to the birds singing and watching the grass grow, this is about all I need. It feeds me. We sing a song here, "Return to the Home of Your Soul." And so I wonder, what is your soul hungry for? What is it trying to say to you right now? I don't mean to make repair sound easy or simple, especially when it's conflict or hurt between people. Healing is hard and complicated, and still it's possible. Time can help, but time all by itself doesn't magically cause healing. It takes attention and effort, right? Almost 20 years ago, a difficult relationship between the minister and the music director here threatened to split the congregation. Those two staff members eventually had to leave. That was necessary, but it was hard. Hurtful things were said and done. Trust was broken. Some people got angry and left. Others felt uncomfortable and left. It took time and effort to heal wounds and restore trust. And you all did it. You did that work. And out of that pain and discomfort came some healing and commitment to healthier practices articulated in a covenant that we created. None of you who went through those days want to return to them, do you? No. But wouldn't you say that a healthier, happier, more connected, and more welcoming congregation came out of that time of struggle? Repair is possible, and people and communities can become stronger in the broken places. Let me introduce you to a brilliant young rabbi named Danya Ruttenberg. She's written a book about repair as a process that requires repentance, making amends, and accountability. She says that too often in our culture, there's a pressure to rush quickly to forgiveness and reconciliation, to let go of grudges, to forgive those who have done harm. What Dietrich Bonhoeffer called cheap grace. Hence the need for this clear-eyed, deliberate, and slow process that Rabbi Ruttenberg articulates in her book. You can hear it in the title, On Repentance and Repair, Making Amends in an Unapologetic World. Making amends in an unapologetic world. Because we do live in a time when too many people seem to have lost the ability or the will to apologize. You know what I mean? When some people, rather than apologizing, turn the situation upside down or inside out, deny the wrongdoing itself, go on the offensive and attack the person naming their reality, reverse the role of victim and offender. I didn't do anything wrong. I'm the victim here. And let's tell the truth. Any of us can do this, right? I've done it, yeah. It's easy to rush to defend oneself and deny the injury and criticize the one saying they've been harmed and make ourselves the victim. And so it takes some grounding and some self-awareness, some humility and some courage to say, I'm sorry. I was wrong. How can I help fix what I've broken? Our country is roiled up right now, but this is nothing new. We've been this way for a while. The horror that's happening in Gaza that seems to be only getting worse, and our nation's material support of that horror have rightly caused many people to rise up in protest. And then when authorities have responded with force, this has so often led to violence. Who could have guessed it? Which has only inflamed the situation and made it worse and caused more harm. Of course, the Israel-Palestinian situation is complicated. And it's been complicated for a long, long time. Our nation seems incapable these days of looking at hard things with care and with nuance, being part of the solution instead of creating more problems. At least that's the assumption you might make if you only watch the headline news. But you know, don't you, that is not the whole story. There are still people and places that offer what's like a repair shop for what's been broken. As John O'Donohue put it, where healing and growth are loved, where dignity and forgiveness prevail, where patience of spirit is prized and the sight of the destination is never lost. We're trying to be such a place and such a people as this. But we're not alone. These people and places are all around once you start looking for them. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who practice tikkun olam. Claire and I are going to offer a space, this was her idea, where we can gather to talk about Gaza and the complexities of these days. We're not going to fix what's happening in Palestine, but who knows what might change as we listen to one another. We'll let you know when we schedule that time. Repair can be hard, and it is possible, and so needed these days. And we have opportunities all around to practice this sacred art of mending. We heard some examples from Julia Kasdorf, what she learned from her mother in our reading. I learned that whatever we say means nothing. What anyone will remember is that we came. I learned to believe I had the power to ease awful pains materially, like an angel, like a doctor, or like a nurse. I learned to create from another's suffering my own usefulness. And once you know how to do this, you can never refuse. To every house you enter, you must offer healing. A chocolate cake you baked yourself, the blessing of your voice, your chaste touch. Dear spiritual companions, how much usefulness do we each have? How many opportunities to help mend and bless our broken world? How much is our presence, our witness, our courage needed these days? All around us there are these signs. I picture them flashing off and on. Needs repair. Needs repair. Needs repair. Where do you want to begin? Amen.